జయం విశ్వపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్యం అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయచరణారవింద భక్తివేదాంత గోస్వామి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం నిథిల్యా ప్రవిష్ట ఓం విశ్వపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదికి అనంతకోడి వైష్ణవ బృందికి నామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందికి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోపు గోవినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధాగుండ గిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన్ ధామికి మాయపూర్ ధామికి మధురగిరి ధామికి జగన్నాథపురి ధామికి ద్వారకాపురి ధామికి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసీదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర ప్రేమనంది ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ all glories to the assembled devotees all glories to shri shri guru and shri gauranga all glories to shila prabhupada mahamishnu padaya krishna prasthaya mudaleshwari bhakti vedanta swami dinamini namaste saraswati evam gauravani pracharine nirvishesha shunyavadi paschati deshadarine ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కరుణానిధే కర్మగ్రాహ గృహీతాంగం మాముద్ధర భవార్ణవాత్ శ్రీమద్భాగవతాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమేవ హి స్వీకృతోసి మయా నాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవ సాగరే మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫలా సర్వదా త్వయా నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవ భవే భవే యథా భక్తి పాదయోర్సవ జాయతే తథా కురుష్వ దేవేశ నాథస్త్వం నో యద ప్రభో నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వ భావ ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖ శమనం తం నమామి హరిం పరం జన్మాద్యస్య యతోన్వయాదిదరదశ్చర్థేష్వభిజ్ఞస్వరాట్ తేనే బ్రహ్మ హృదాయ ఆది కవయే ముహ్యంతి యత్ సూరయాం తేజో వారిమృదం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృషా నామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్త కుహకం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి ధర్మ ప్రోజ్జిత కైదవోత్ర పరమో నిర్మత్సరాణాం సదాం వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివదం తావత్రయోన్మూలనం శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాముని కృతే కిం వా పరైరీశ్వర సద్యో హృద్యవరుధ్యదేత్ర కృతిభి శుశ్రూషుభి తక్షణా నిగమగల్పదరోర్గలిదం ఫలం శుగముఖాదమృదద్రవ సంయుతం పిబద భాగవతం రసమాలయం ముహురహోరసికా భువి భావుకాః సచ్చిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోల్పత్యాదిహేతవే తావత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నుమా యం ప్రవ్రజందం హనుపేతమపేతకృత్యం ద్వైవాహనో విరగహాతరమాజ్జుహావ పుత్రేది తన్మయదయత్తరవోభినేదు తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిం ఆనతోస్మి యస్వానుభావమఖిల శ్రుతిసారమేకం అధ్యాత్మదీపమదితి తీర్షతాం తమోంధం సంసారిణాం కరుణయాః పురాణ గుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనుముపయామి గురుం మునీనాం నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తదో జయముదీరయేత్ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തി കലവേണു കൊണിദാതൃദാനനിന്ദോഹം മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാ മുരാരേ മധുരീം കനികാഭി കാഭി കാഭി നമാഹോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിൻ ഭിരിനാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവി ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യാദേശതാരിണേ ശ്രീമത് ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശ യാസാം ഹരിഗതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാതീഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദപരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിതചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായം അതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണം ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദം വേദ്യ പരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ഏകാദശ സ്കന്ധം ചാപ്റ്റർ 7 വേഴ്സ് 16 സോഹം മമാഹമിതി മൂഢമതിർവിഘാട സ്വന്മായയാ വിരചിതാത്മനി സാനുബന്ധേ തത്വഞ്ജസാമി ഗതിതം ഭവതാ യഥാഹം സംസാധയാമി ഭഗവൻ അനുശാധിവൃത്യം സത്യസ്യ തേ സദൃശമാത്മനമാത്മനോന്യം വക്താരമീശ വിഭുദേഷ്വപി നാനുചക്ഷേ സർവേ വിമോഹിതധിയാ സ്തവമായയേഷ ബ്രഹ്മാദയാ സ്തനുഭൃതോ ബഹിരർത്ഥഭാവാഃ തസ്മാദ് ഭവന്തം അനവദ്യമനന്തപാരം സർവജ്ഞമീശ്വരമകുണ്ഡ വിഖുണ്ഠധിഷ്ണ്യം നിർവിണ്ണധി അഹമുഹം വ്രജിനാഭി ദത്തോ നാരായണം നരസഖം ശരണം പ്രപദ്യേ. ഉദ്ധവ ഈസ് റിപ്ലൈയിംഗ് ടു കൃഷ്ണ ദാറ്റ് സോഹം മമാഹമതി മൂഢമതിർവിഘാടഃ ദാറ്റ് അണ്ടർ ദി ഇൻഫ്ലുവൻസ് ഓഫ് മായ ഹി സേസ് സ്വന്മായയാ ഡ്യൂ ടു കൃഷ്ണസ് മായ വിരചിതാത്മനി സാനുബന്ധേ. That all these relationships, because virajidalmani, that means I have created them due to influence of maya in this body, and whatever you have spoken here, I cannot execute that in my life. This was Uddhava's predicament, because he says, soham mamahamidim udhamadir vighadaha. I am in this situation that I have this aham and mamedi, me and mine, that's very strong, deeply embedded in me. Moodham adir vikadaha is very deeply embedded in me. Satvanjasa nigadidam bhavada yadaham samsadhayami bhagavan anushadivatyam. Therefore, please instruct me in such a way, Uddhava says to Krishna, in such a way that I can break away from this conditioning, what I have of me and mine, and free myself from that, and I can serve you. Samsadhayami, by which I can serve you properly as a proper devotee. Anushadhi Bhatyam, and train me up in that way. This was Uddhava's openly admitting to Krishna that this is my situation. So you can see, we were discussing that last Sunday, that the beginning of spiritual life, where does it start? Spiritual life begins in a person when one feels the need to inquire about the truth, isn't it? That's why it's called tattva jijnyasa. This tattva jijnyasa don't come very easily in the people's mind. It doesn't happen. For that, it requires a lot of preparation prior to that, in order that to develop that tattva jijnyasa. In order to develop tattva jijnyasa, it takes time to develop that tattva jijnyasa. That's what is mentioned here, that you can see that we talked about the spiritual master's role in that. When a person is ready for spiritual life inside, when he has that desire to know about the truth, after analyzing this world sufficiently and having understood the futility of material life, the uselessness of the material life, and when he feels a desire to free himself from the clutches of this cycle of birth and death, it is very strongly he feels that need for that. That is when the inquiry begins. General class of people, because most of the people are absorbed in the body and satisfied with the bodily needs, bodily necessities, and meeting the because of the identification with the body, meeting the bodily requirement alone is their priority in life. But when one crosses over that stage and comes to understand that beyond body something else exists, or in other words, understanding of the soul comes to him, and he wants to find out the how to realize this soul, what I am actually, it is then that the inquiry begins. So at that point, when Narayanam Narasakham Sharanam Pravadye, at that time from inside, Krishna gives the direction to him. Krishna understands when he is ready to receive a spiritual master. From inside, Krishna prompts him from within that to go in which direction to go from inside. And at the same time, because his desire or intensity increases for finding out the truth, accordingly Krishna moves forward also. Only at that point, Narayanam Narasakham, he becomes the Sakhav, or in other words, he becomes he comes to assist the living entity at that point. So that's what we are talking about. And when he is genuinely ready for that situation, Krishna manifests in the form of the Guru in front of that devotee. Everything is executed by Krishna. It's Krishna's arrangement that all these things are happening. When it's not happening, we have to realize that we are not ready for that. We are not become qualified for that spiritual activities. So at that time, we mentioned that the spiritual master's role in there. What we said was that the spiritual master comes to the disciple in which form? What is his qualifications? We mentioned that he thinks in terms of that avrajinaha. First qualification mentioned was shrotriyam. Shrotriya means, that is a very important word, because you will see this word Shrotriyam used in Upanishads also. Why is that? Because Shrotriya means one who has heard and realized the truth. He is Shrotriyam. So Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam, it says. In another instance in the Upanishads, it says that earlier we have seen when Hari Maharshi was talking about, we also see Tasmal Guram Prabhadyeda Jinyasu Shreyam Uttamam Shabde Pare Chanishnadam Brahmanyu Vashamashrayam. This is how Hari Maharshi spoke about the Guru. If you remember earlier, I think it was not Hari Maharshi, it was Pipalayana Andariksha Prabuddha, I think. Prabuddha spoke this. Prabuddha said, among the nine yogis, Prabuddha said about the Guru. What did he say? Tasmal Gurum Prabhadyeda Jityasu Shreyam Uttamam Shabde Pare Chanishnadam Brahmanyu Vashamashrayam. That Shabde Pareja Nishnadam is what is the Shrotriyam. That in Shabde Pareja Nishnadam is what is referred to as Shrotriyam. So Shrotriyam is that person that he comes to that stage of realization in spiritual life, that he, that is his qualification, that he has heard the truth from another person, from his spiritual master and he has realized it. That is his qualification. He must have realized it, Shrotriyam. So, this Shrotriyam, it says like this, that in the Upanishads, Tad Vijnanartham, in order to know that truth, Sadguru eva abhigachet. One should approach a Sadguru, a spiritual master. What kind of spiritual master? Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam. He should be Shrotriyam. He should have heard and he should not have any doubts in his mind about the truth. If he has doubts, then he cannot help somebody else, can he? So if he himself should be free from all doubts, and he should be able to at the same time transmit that clarity of understanding of the truth to the disciple as well. That's why it is said, Tadvijnanartham sadgurumeva abhigachet shrotriyam shamadpani shamidpani shrotriyam brahmanishtam. So disciple, when he goes to see the spiritual master should be of that caliber or that state of consciousness. Shrotriyam, shrotriyaha avrajinaha, that he should be free from all kinds of sinful activities. All kinds of sinful activities. He should be completely sinless. In other words, there should be no propensities in him to commit any kind of sinful activities. You could not execute that responsibility of a guru at the same time engaging in any kind of sinful life. Then, the next one, which is still important, akamaha. Akamaha. Akamaha means he has no desire anymore. No desire for money. No desire for fame. No desire for followers. No desire for name, nothing. No kinds of material desires inside. If there is any slightest desire inside, you can take it that the person is not qualified to be a guru. Qualified to be a guru. This is the qualifications. Shastras are saying like this. Akamaha Brahmavittamaha. Then he should be Brahmavittama. Brahmavittama means he should be realized. He should be realized. Brahmanyubaradaha Shandaha Nirindhanivanalaha. That is another thing. Brahman Yubaradaha. That means he should be situated in Brahman. In other words, his position is such that although he exists in the material world on a bodily level, on a spiritual level, he is on a different plane. He is a realized state. He has to be in that state always. Otherwise, it is not possible. Brahman Yubaradaha Shandaha. Because he is Brahman realized, he has realized the truth, Shandaha, he is always peaceful. Nothing can disturb him. Nirindhana Ivanala. Nirindhana Ivanala. As I said before, it is just like a gas cylinder. When the gas is run out completely, that bottle is not anymore dangerous. There is no chance of any flame or any kind of fire happening from that. Similarly, inside this spiritual master, there should be no vasanas anymore. If there is any kind of vasanas inside to gratify, any kind of sense gratification, then he cannot realize the truth. He is in difficulty. So that's why I said, Nirindhana Ivanala. Then, Ahaiduka Daya Sindhu. That he is such an ocean of mercy. Anyone who comes to him, Bandhu Anamadam Sadam. That anyone who comes and prostrate before him, he accepts him happily and he delivers this mercy to him without any expectations. Without any expectations. These are the qualifications expected from a spiritual master. He is not a businessman. He is expecting to deliver the conditioned soul from his ignorance and elevate him in spiritual life, for which he himself has to be situated in that platform. That is the basic requirement. That if it is all like that, and if there is a spiritual master like that, and if the disciple also, what we have talked about the disciple, Nurvinnadi paramamum vrijinabhidattam narayanam narasakham sharanam prabadhyem. That main qualification for the disciple is his renunciation. So, if a spiritual master who has all the above qualifications we spoke, and if there is a disciple who has that level of detachment from material life, having developed that detachment by his experience in this world, then you can say that if they meet together, It will be something like a camphor approaching fire. The camphor burns in the fire straight away, isn't it? Camphor is going to embrace fire. What does it mean? The camphor will burn in that fire. The result will be that there is no more doubts in the minds of the disciple. Everything gets clarified for him. So the important thing here is that the disciple has to develop that detachment within him. That is virakti, as it is called virakti. How does the bhaktir viraktir bhagavat prabodaha? So in order that virakti to develop, first thing is bhakti. Bhakti should be there inside the heart. It is from there virakti builds up. And then ultimately Bhagavad Prabodha. That time spiritual master delivers him with Bhagavad Prabodha, the Krishna consciousness. In other words, the tattva or the principle of Krishna. So before going to that, what about the disciple? How does he develop these qualities? These are what we are interested, isn't it? How do we develop this virakti, detachment from this world? So this is why a thoughtful person, it says, Shastra says that a thoughtful person can easily develop this detachment. What is basically required is the nature of thinking, the way of thinking. Because in order to, one who is very observant in this world, he can understand the true nature of this world. One who is very observant. Most of us are not very observant because we are concerned mostly about our own existence in this world. Isn't it? We are busy with our own body, bodily maintenance, and therefore we do not take very seriously about the rest of the world. In that process, the whole time is spent on that. But, dukkhanya lokya jandushu alamudita vivegam koham acharya varyaha labdhva tvadrubadatvam gunacharitagada ulbhaval bhakti bhumaha mayamenam taritvam That's where it begins from. Then a person who is observing this world seriously, he can see that this world is a place where every living entity is experiencing distress in one form or the other. But that is not very easy to come to that conclusion because it requires some discrimination inside. A kind of discrimination is necessary inside. Without discrimination, it is not possible. It's called in Shastram as vivekam. Vivekam. Vivekam means the ability to discriminate things. When one discriminates things properly, then he will know that everything what he is seeing in this world is not to be taken on the face value. Not to be taken on the face value. Most of us accept things as we are told, isn't it? As we are told. Because we lack that discrimination in us. That's why we accept it. Whatever somebody, we want somebody to tell us something and then we'll act accordingly. That's not a very good sign of vivekam. That shows that there is no discrimination in the person. But a person who is coming to spiritual life, he has to have discrimination. Otherwise he won't be able to separate the right and the wrong thing. Corn from the chaff, as they say. So, in order to do that, discrimination is necessary. Otherwise, even if you get the best guru in this world, you won't be able to make spiritual advancement. This is the difficulty. We are thinking that I have the best guru, so I'm going to make spiritual life success. I can, whatever I may do, my guru is so powerful that he will pick me up. That's not going to happen. The guru's role here is that a person who has developed and matured inside, matured well inside, and who has that genuine spiritual desire, and who has developed that power of discrimination so strongly that he has managed to change the direction of his life in such a way, the guru is just pouring the oil into the fire. That's the guru's role there. Guru is only helping from outside. Just like he's pouring more oil into the fire so that it can burn. The fire can burn inside. That is the guru's role. Then, when there is enough discrimination inside, he will give enough attention to the right personalities and to the right Vedic literature from where he will acquire the necessary understanding of what is required for advancement in spiritual life. Because generally, our vision is tainted with our own vasanas inside, isn't it? This is a very important point. Our vision to the world is tainted with our vasanas inside. That is the reason, says a spiritual master, has 10 disciples. He has instructed all of them equally. But you find some of them made a lot of advancement, some of them did not make any advancement, some of them are in between. Why did this happen? What is the reason that made all of them at different levels? Somebody developed a higher advancement spiritually, somebody was not able to move an inch, and someone stayed somewhere in the middle. That is not due to the fault of the spiritual master, because he is instructing equally to everyone. But the result seems to be different in different people. The reason for that is the vasanas are different, persons are different. Accordingly, the way they accept the instructions and utilize it, implement that in their own life, will also be different. And therefore you can see that the it is not always the spiritual master that causes the brings the results in. It is also the disciple. Disciple's responsibility is that if he is very matured and if he is very much developed this power of discrimination inside, he will be able to take the instructions more seriously. And he will meditate on that very seriously. He will be able to implement that in his life seriously. And he'll be able to reject those things, what's not necessary for spiritual life. Also, seriously, all these things will happen in his life. Otherwise, but unfortunately, because generally people are not in that state of consciousness, that they are very much looking for instructions all the time from the top to come, and that on that particular day, particular hour, particular minute. That way people act in spiritual life, therefore progress is very much restricted. Progress does not happen. So, this nature of discrimination, in order to make that understand, there are several examples how one should discriminate in life. For example, the one who has come to spiritual life, the first thing he has to, Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita also, he should be reading Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam prior to approaching for initiation or approaching a spiritual master. Because in order to develop that spiritual culture inside, it's necessary to study Shastram first. It's not that Shastram you only study after you have been initiated. No. Prior to that, one should study Shastram very well. Because of that, this discriminative power will build up inside. Because Krishna points out many, many things in the Shastram. It says there like this, that a person who is, for example, from the material world, he has come to enter into spiritual, some little desire has developed inside. But at the same time, in his own mind, he has a lot of desire for making money in this world. Say, if that desire is very strong inside, he will not be able to advance spiritually. It is not possible for him. Because this will override all other things first. As I mentioned before, how the system works. That thing what you have decided in your mind very strongly as priority, that will override everything else. So this person who has come to spiritual life, he is thinking in terms of developing wealth and feeling the need to develop wealth, has to first understand the uselessness of wealth, futility of the wealth. Because he thinks that wealth is going to bring him happiness. Somewhere in his unconscious mind, sometime he has made a decision that wealth will solve all his problems. That's the reason why he decided to go after wealth. And he thinks that that is the solution to the problem, and after that he can think about spiritual life. But that is not so. It doesn't happen like that. So when he is seeing that very rich people, say one he has got 100,000 pounds, he is seeing someone who has got 1,000,000 pounds, and he's always thinking how I can get to that state. How can I be in that situation? If he's looking like that, he will not make progress in spiritual life. He doesn't have the discriminative power. On the other hand, if that person is thinking, is looking down and seeing someone who has got 10,000 pounds, and he's feeling that after all, in life, what I need, Krishna is providing me my needs all the time. It has always been provided. Why should I have this anxiety all the time about the future? Because one person who has developed that kinds of consciousness cannot develop spiritually. It is not possible. That's why then instead of thinking about acquiring more wealth and want to go after wealth, that means he has to struggle, isn't it? Developing wealth means he has to struggle. Along with that will begin his struggle for existence. His struggle for existence. And on the other hand, if that person, instead of going looking up, if he is able to look down and see those people who do not have that wealth but still carrying on in this world and able to learn a lesson from them, that survival in this world is not totally dependent on wealth. Not totally dependent on wealth. And to think that wealth is not going to resolve all the problems of life, that is another greatest illusion. So by discrimination one can understand that why I should struggle so much in this world just to fulfill my material needs. This understanding comes to him from vivekam. That is called discrimination. That is vivekam. So vivekam is actually the key for developing vairagyam. Vairagyam comes from vivekam. So first step towards vairagyam, renunciation, is vivekam. Dukhanya lokya jandushu alamudita viveka koham acharya varyaham. Then from seeing this distress in this world, he sees that rich people also have distress in this world. That is the one thing he will observe. He won't simply see he has got so much money so he is happy. He won't jump into that conclusion. Anyone who jumps into that conclusion is actually mistaken. The only thing is he will be able to analyze it better in his own mind. He will see that person who has got so much money to live in this world, still he is also suffering to acquire more wealth. Acquire more wealth. And the person who has got the intelligence, he will think that instead of utilizing the human form of life given to us for the purpose for which it is meant, he is not utilizing it. On the other hand, he is thinking that I've got a million, let me make it 10 million. 10 million pounds. So, this is what is called vivekam, to understand this. And that's not so easy. It won't happen because on a daily basis, we are being told that we have to make so much money in life and before the time is over. What for we are making money, we don't know. We also don't know. And on the one hand, you are making this money. On the other hand, some other miseries are coming in the form of something else. Either there are various adhyatmikam, adhibhautikam, adhidevikam. We know all the miseries of material life. That need not be discussed here. We know ourselves what they are. So we keep on making this. So intelligent person will observe at that point itself that through right discrimination he will understand that this goal of life is not simply making money. That is not the goal. So from there itself he will withdraw at that point from the unnecessary endeavor for the... rather he will see that the purpose of human life is not simply to engage in acquiring wealth and satisfying the senses. So that is the first stage in the discriminative mind. A discriminative mind will have a different way of thinking than the ordinary mind. Ordinary mind, the answer is very simple, isn't it? Ordinary mind, go for it, they say. Go for it. So getting, and then when it is 1 million, make it 10 million. When it is 10 million, 100 million, then billion. Like that it goes. So that is endless. At no time is satisfied. At no time is satisfied. And at the end, after making, at the age of 75 or 80, when all the limbs are failing and all the senses are helpless and not able to make any more money, at that time, Krishna, I want to serve you now. Ready to serve Krishna. So Krishna is saying here that this consciousness has to change first. That able to discriminate things and to withdraw from this world when it is necessary and to be satisfied within oneself is the first symptom of a discriminative mind. And this is called vivekam. This is called vivekam. The rich people also have sufferings in this world. Not that they don't have any miseries in this world. Only difference is their miseries are of a different nature. Their miseries are, they may not be struggling for the pounds, but they may be struggling for something else is giving them dissatisfaction in life. It has to be like that, because that's the way material nature works, and we cannot avoid that. So this is one thing to think about. Secondly, when one think about the body and the bodily beauty, beautifying the body, and everything in relationship with the body, one starts thinking that, oh, this body is to be maintained, the understanding of the identification with the body, when it gets so strong, one starts thinking in terms of maintaining the body all the time, isn't it? But a person who has understood this, the nature of the material body, his thinking will be completely different. He does not think in the same way like the materialist person thinks. Materialist thinks that they need to maintain the body, and because they identify with the body so strongly, that all their energy is spent on maintaining the body, on maintaining the body. There is nothing else exists for him, because bodily identity is so strong. But a person who has discrimination, one who has discrimination, what will he say? He will think, this material body, what is it made of? The simply thinking about the elements that constitute this body is sufficient to reject the body, isn't it? Different material elements, when we are talking about, like the combination of the different mucus, blood, bones, hair, and all the other things, what constitutes this body, they are not very pleasant things, isn't it? And it is nothing but a combination of all these things that we call it as this body. And it is this body that we are trying to maintain and to find beauty in that body. We are trying to find beauty in that body. So whatever we may say, that unless we see these things and come to terms with it, we will continue to maintain the body and think in terms of the body. That's why sometimes it's very difficult to get these points across to people's mind. Because modern lifestyle doesn't allow you to think in this way. It always forces you to think in terms of the body. Therefore, intelligent person, one who has got discrimination, he will not think like that. He would not think like that. Dukkhanyalokya jandushu alamudida vivekohamacharyavaryaha. That he will always see that there is distress in this body. That is the first realization he has. He sees there is distress in the body. Illnesses are coming, diseases. Different kinds of diseases are coming. And any time the body can drop or the body can become useless for a proper functioning. So why give too much importance to it when you cannot do anything about it? This is another thing, that is a discrimination, to think about it in that way. Otherwise, our attachment to the body will keep us busy with maintaining this body. Our attachment to the wealth will keep us busy in doing the work in this world. And for such a person, it will be very difficult to pull out from material life. He will be completely always in identification with the body. One who has vivekam or discrimination, it will always bring him into a peaceful life, into a peaceful nature. That also you can see. When one is always disturbed inside the mind, the only reason for that, he is not able to find any peace within this world. And he will blame everything outside this himself. He feels that somebody has done this to me or something else has happened, that is why I am suffering. But one who has got discrimination, he will always, even if something happens outside in the external world, you will notice that that person, by his discrimination, he will bring peace within himself. He will not lose his peacefulness inside. This is the symptom of discrimination. One who is losing his peacefulness inside is purely due to lack of discrimination, vivekam. This is what vivekam does to a person. Vivekam makes a person to come to this point to bring peace within himself. Even if he loses his equilibrium of the mind, if he has got that vivekam inside, vivekam will bring peacefulness inside. Otherwise not. Otherwise it's not possible. So this is the importance of Vivekam, and it is that peaceful nature of a person that helps him to understand the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Otherwise it is very difficult. In a passionate mood, if you read Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, you will all that will happen is then millions of questions from that, in that passion. Millions of questions, and you will say no answer to any of these questions. And then you will reject it. So while before studying Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, these things are necessary to develop insight, particularly this quality known as Vivekam. Vivekam brings peacefulness all the time. Even if something happens outside, some disturbances come from outside, if he has the Vivekam inside, he'll be able to discriminate properly and bring the peace within. He'll be able to bring peace within. Now, Vivekam is considered to be like a cat. You know what? Why it is compared to a cat? The cat has a nature. What is the nature of the cat? If you throw a cat in the sky, you pick up a small kitten or a cat and throw it in the sky, it will always come back and land on its legs, isn't it? It will always come. It will not fall on its back or anything. Have you noticed that? Those who have thrown a cat up, you see, when it comes down, it will come and land on its legs all the time. One who has got Vivekam is like that. No matter what happens, he will still withdraw himself and be able to be peaceful within himself. That is a symptom of Vivekam. This is the symptom of Vivekam. One who hasn't got the Vivekam inside, what will happen to him? He will be simply driven by the forces of material nature. Somebody will say something, he'll get agitated and wants to fight with him. So sort him out. He'll say, we'll sort him out, we'll sort that man out, we'll sort him out, and he'll be sorting out the world outside all the time. But he won't sort out himself first. He's going to sort out everybody else. So this Vivekam brings this quality in a person that he will be able to discriminate things and able to see things as they are and be able to come to peace within himself. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, and because that Vivekam is there, there will be always peace within inside. Inside also there will be peace. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a beautiful example of this. If you are read Bhagavatam, you will find this. When did this happen? Sudama came to see Krishna in Dwaraka, isn't it? In the 80th chapter, tenth canto. Sudama came to see Krishna. When Sudama came, Krishna received. We discussed all that in the tenth canto. When Krishna saw Sudama, after Sudama was offered the seat, Sudama sat down and Krishna also sat next to him. Conversation starts between Krishna and Sudama. Krishna is asking Sudama, how are you? Sudama says, answer, extremely happy, very peaceful. So happy, extremely happy and very, very peaceful. Shanti, samruddhi, amrutam, he says. Amrutam, like nectar, like life, extremely peaceful, everything in plenty. What is Sudama's situation? There is no food for a meal, for the next meal. There is nothing at home to eat. This is Sudama. Krishna, husband of the millions of goddesses of Lakshmi, isn't it? What does Brahma Samhita says about Krishna? Lakshmi sahasra Shata sambrama sevyamanam Govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. Shata sambrama sevyamanam, hundreds and hundreds of Shata sahasra sambrama sevyamanam, hundreds and thousands of Lakshmi Devi is serving Krishna. And that means Shriyapadi, husband of the Mahalakshmi, that is Krishna. There is no one who is more opulent than Krishna, isn't it? This is Krishna, and that person, Supreme Personality, is asking Sudama, who hasn't even had even one meal, for the next meal didn't know where it's going to come from, there's nothing to eat, and Krishna is asking Sudama, and Sudama is saying, extremely happy, blissful, samruddhi, shanti, completely peaceful, everything. In return, Sudama asked Krishna, how are you? Krishna also says, everything happy, peaceful, absolutely no problem. So you can see from this, the richest and the poorest are not unhappy in this world. It is those in between these two are in trouble, are always in trouble. They always have all the anxieties of this world. The richest one doesn't have any anxiety. Poorest one also doesn't have any. Generally, they don't have any anxiety. His anxieties are there, but why Sudama didn't have any anxiety? This is the question what we have. What did Krishna say to Sudama? Krishna says to Sudama that I'm not at all surprised you are so happy, he says. Krishna says to Sudama, I am not at all surprised that you are so happy. Why? Dijo vijnana vijnayam tamasa param asnute. This is the words in the Bhagavadam. Dijo vijnana vijnayam tamasa param asnute. What it means is, my dear Brahmana, you have known what is to be known. And you have crossed the ocean of darkness. Tamasa param asnute. You have crossed over the darkness. In other words, the self-realization in Sudama was so complete, that he was not bothered about the body anymore, and he was always situated within the self, in the self-realized state. He was always in the realized state. One who is not realized in this world, he will experience the distress of the body, distress of poverty, distress of relatives, distress of enemies, and all the distresses of this world he will experience. Sudama was not experiencing anything. And he was experiencing, because he was situated within the self, he was already experiencing the spiritual realized state, and therefore there was no disturbance for him. There was no disturbance for him. Therefore, he was able to say to Krishna that I am feeling extremely happy in life. I'm not in need of anything. I'm not in want of anything. Remember, when Sudama left home, Sudama's wife, Brahmana Patni, said to Sudama, when you go there, you should never talk once even about our poverty to Krishna. Not even once you should mention that to him. It's only on that condition that Sudama has left home. Sudama has not come to ask for anything. Sudama was not willing to ask anything because he is satisfied within himself. He had everything what he wanted because he was not identifying with the body. One who identifies with the body, he has got all the problems of this world, isn't it? He has got all the problems of this world. He suffers from illness, he suffers from poverty, he suffers from manam, apamanam, that means insult and glorification. And he suffers from offenses. He suffers from so many things in this world. Why? Because his identification with the body. But for Sudama, all that stage is gone. He is not identifying with the body. Nothing was affecting him either. So Sudama says to Krishna that I'm not feeling any disturbances in my mind. I'm feeling totally satisfied and shanti, complete shanti within me. So how does Sudama reach the state of consciousness, the status? When his wife told him that you should go to Krishna, first reply from Sudama was, I can go there if you want me to go, but at least I'll have an opportunity to see Krishna. But at the same time, I'm not going to go there asking for wealth. That I'm not going to do. This was Sudama's words to his wife. Sudama's wife said, there's no need to ask anything. If after seeing you in this condition, if Krishna has not understood our situation, then there is no point in asking, is there? This was Sudama's wise words. Sudama's words were, I'm not going to ask anything. I'll go as I am and I'll see Krishna. Sudama's wife says, you don't need to ask anything. You don't need to ask anything. Because seeing you in the way you are today, if you look at the Kuchelam Dhamani Sandadam, Bhagavadam says like this, you could count all the veins and nerves and everything in his body because of starvation. Sudama's life was like that. All the bones you could count, identify them, every bone, every nerves, every artery, vein, whatever you call in the body, you could call, individually identify them. Dhamani Sandadam, Sri Shukan says about, Surya Goswami says about Sudama's body at that time. And the dress what he had, kuchelam. Kuchelam means what? Completely soiled dhoti. A soiled cloth he was wearing. So, and this Sudama is saying to Krishna, I'm totally happy. Everything is peaceful within me. And Krishna understood why he was saying that. Because Krishna says, Dijo vijnana vijnayam tamasa paramasnute. He says to Sudama, my dear Brahmana, you have known what is to be known. You have got it. So once you have known this truth, you have already crossed. Then you, for all these anxieties about existence and the bodily needs and all our other anxieties do not exist anymore. So, one who has transcended this, one who has transcended this body, one who has transcended the body, nothing will bother him. Nothing will bother him. Now, think about Krishna. What does Krishna say to Sudama? Krishna says to Sudama, the only difference between you and me is this. I am very active. You are not doing anything. Sudama is not doing anything. He's just sitting at home. But I am also like yourself. I am very active, but I am also in the same situation like you. Krishna says about this. Kejil karmani kurvandi kamai ahada chedasam tejanda prakrutir devi yadaham loka samgraha. That is Krishna's verse in the 10th canto. Verse 30. Chapter 80, verse 30. You can see, read when you get home. Kejil karmani kurvandi kamai rahada chetasaha. Krishna says, I am very busy in this world. But what I do is, I keep my consciousness is such a level that when I am executing any work, doing so many things I am doing. Krishna was doing millions of things at the same time. He was carrying on doing it. While he was here in this world, in Dwarka, he was doing so many things at the same time. He was running there to help the Pandavas. He was managing the administration in Dwarka. And he had to look after tens and thousands of Yadavas and keep them under control as well. And family alone, such a large family, 16,108 wives, and from each one of them, 10 children, and from many of them had grandchildren. So you can imagine there was something like thousands and thousands of family members. He had to attend to all of them and attend to the needs of all this big family, what he had. Plus administration in Dwaraka. There were so many enemies who were attacking Dwaraka, like Jarasandha, Shishupala, Dandavakra, so many others like that. He had to make sure that they were not able to attack Dwaraka. Apart from that, in Hastinapur, he had this main business of getting the Pandavas installed back on the throne. Like this, unlimited activities Krishna was performing unlike Sudama. Sudama was sitting at home and totally satisfied. No more anxiety. Krishna also says he has no anxiety while doing all these things. Why? Because he says here, Kejil karmani kurvandi kamai rahada chetasaha. That his consciousness was such that he was not expecting any results from anything. Unlike us, I am the doer, the results must come. These things don't work for Krishna. This doesn't affect Krishna. That is the realized state of Krishna's position. He's like that. That he is able to execute everything without any identification with that. Identification with the work, what he was doing. That he can, for Loka Sangraha, he says, I was doing it in order to get this world going. For the sake of the world, I was doing the work, not for myself. In other words, he was able to execute everything what he was doing for the sake of the world, not for his own sense gratification. When we execute any work, our planning goes behind that, isn't it? What is in it for me? This is the first thing what we ask. Krishna was not asking, what is in it for me? Krishna didn't have to ask that. Because Krishna's activities were such that Loka Sangraha, it is only for this world, the benefit of the world he executed. In other words, with total detachment and total, not only not identifying with the karmam, he was executing the pure as a karma yogi, he executed those activities. Not expecting any results in return, nor enjoying the results, or feeling depressed if the things don't go well, such things doesn't happen with Krishna. Continuously doing karmam all the time. Like in the Upanishads it says, isn't it? In the Ishavanishad you will see that thousands of years you can carry on executing karmam in that consciousness. but fully disconnected from the results as far as from the doership. Nothing was affecting Krishna. That's why Krishna says to Sudama, you are doing something, I am also doing exactly the same thing. Only difference, I am doing a lot of things, you are not doing anything. But both of us are experiencing the shanti, the peacefulness within us. Both of us are peaceful. Why? Both of us are situated within the self. Both of us are situated within the self. So, this is to show that one who is going in the path of spiritual realization, this is his goal, to get there, to the position of realizing the self. Because once you reach that platform, that is when the peace comes in properly. Not by any other means. Then, in the favorable conditions and in the unfavorable conditions, in both conditions, when one is able to maintain that equilibrium, one is able to bring equilibrium inside, then you can say that Vivekam is there. Vivekam is there. Otherwise, there is no Vivekam. Vivekam refers to this. This is what it is. Vivekam is called. And for a person who comes to spiritual life, first quality is this Vivekam. From Vivekam comes Vairagyam. Because when there is sufficient Vivekam in a person, he will automatically become the Vairagyam will develop in such a person. That in order to that, for a disciple, the first quality, what Krishna says, what it is spoken, is this Vivekam. Dukkhanyaloki jandushu alamudita vivekohamacharya varyaha. That when that Vivekam is very, very strong, only then from inside, Krishna guides the person to go into a acharya varya, one who is a realized soul. He prompts him from within in which direction to go. Krishna is waiting for this stage to happen in life. When one comes to this stage, from inside, Krishna prompts that person to go in whatever be the right direction. Spiritual life is completely handled by Krishna. From inside he is controlling, from outside also he is controlling. When we talked about spiritual master, the first person who knows that you are ready for spiritual life is the super soul inside. Isn't it? Super soul knows inside that you are ready for spiritual life. When super soul knows that you are ready for spiritual life in a genuine way, he will come out and manifest in the form of guru whom you are going to surrender. That is how it works. That is why we say the spiritual master and Krishna is non-different. Why we have to offer respect to the spiritual master on the same level as Krishna? Because of this. That he is non, Krishna has come in that form in front of us because we need guidance from outside. Otherwise it will not, we cannot go further in our conditioned state. That's why the spiritual master's role comes there. So therefore, from inside, Krishna manifests outside in the form of spiritual master. That connection brings, contact is brought at that time. And then if the disciple has the proper relationship, proper vairagyam inside or vivekam inside, he would be able to approach him in the right way. Approach him in the right way. So at that point, the disciple comes to understand that I have come across the person whom I should ask this, what should I do in my life? You will see these things in the Bhagavad Gita and Chaitanya Charitamritam also. When Sanatana Goswami came to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if you see that scene, if you can read in Chaitanya Charitamritam, the relationship between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sanatana Goswami, that's all what you have to read through. How that relationship was developing properly. Then Sanatana comes completely in detached from this world. When he was, after all, he was the minister for the king, and the king wanted to elevate him, provide him all facilities, everything, to live a comfortable material life. But somehow this vivekam, discrimination, has come inside, and he started seeing that this is not this is not what I need in my life. I need something different than that.
So that discrimination inside started showing its after effects, ripple effect from that. You can see how things developed after that. Sanatana Goswami decided to leave, and when he left, he took only some cash to cross through the forest and through the robbers whom he was frightened of. So in order to bribe them, he took some money with him. Isn't it? He took some money with him just to cross through the forest and cross the river. So at that time, he had a servant with him who was observing that Sanatana Goswami still had some money. Sanatana Goswami realized that this money is going to be the killer. It is going to cause me problems. So immediately what did he do? Handed over the money immediately and freed himself from that, or that bondage also. Look at the way Sanatana Goswami was thinking. This is what is necessary. This is the mood of a disciple, proper disciple. Sanatana Goswami has not taken initiation by now. He is still the minister at the king's palace. And they were chasing him to find him, to bring him back. A very intelligent person, but at the same time, very much thoughtful, very thoughtful inside. And after analyzing the world, realized that I have some serious business in this world. This is what happens first. First, all these convictions have to come inside. That I have some important business in this world. My business is not just running day-to-day life. That is not the only business. That everybody is doing. Animals also is carrying on with their daily life. If that is the only life in this world, and if we want spiritual, make that progress, the next step to move forward, then these realizations, like Sanatana Goswami felt, like many others in the spiritual path has felt, the same thoughts have to develop inside us also. When that thoughts develop, what will happen is, like Sanatana Goswami arranged with meeting with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna's arrangement was, it is like that. In the case of Sanatana Goswami, Krishna came in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when the first meeting happened between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sanatana Goswami, what was the first question? Sanatana Goswami says to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "I do not know who I am." In other words, admission of one's own helplessness, admission of one's own incompetence is what he has shown there. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was told by Sanatana Goswami like this, that that's why it is said like that I am burning in material life, I don't know. So this consciousness is important for a disciple. Durvara samsara davagni taptam, that material existence is already burning me from outside. The fire of material existence, samsara davan analitha loga, that is burning me from outside. Inside, doghuyamanam duradrishtavadehi, inside I am burning with all my material desires and vasanas. Inside is burning, outside is burning. Bhidam prabannam paribahi mrityoh, because of this I am frightened, and paribahi mrityo, and I am also frightened about the death which is waiting again. Already I am suffering here in this world, outside from the external world, from material life, and inside from the vasanas inside. Ordinary people, materialistic people, what do? They say that I don't have any suffering, I am extremely happy. Outside world, I am playing my games nicely, I am sorting that out. Inside, I will fulfill all my vasanas and I will find peace like this. So this is the difference between a materialistic person and a person who is in spiritual life. The materialistic will always try to solve the problems outside as well as the problems inside in a different way. He admits that he is burning inside and outside, but what he does is, he does not seek the solution like the way the Vedic literatures have mentioned. His solution is not permanent. His solution is a very temporary solution. Because constantly, the material problems, family problems, social problems, health problems, financial problems, and all other problems, which we don't know how to name them, all other problems are coming one after the other in daily life, And he is constantly trying to solve. You solve one, you plug one hole, another one, another plug opens. So like this, he's plugging another one. Like this, he's busy with this whole day and night. So that's how he sorts out. Inside, all other vasanas, whatever little vasanas are there, he tries to satisfy his senses by gratifying them, he tries to fulfill them. But person with vivekam and discrimination, he develops vairagyam and he sees things in a different level. So that's why it was said that the purpose of all these things is Vidam Brabandam Baribahi Mrityoho Sharanyam Anyadyamaham Najani. He approaches a person when Krishna introduces him to the disciple. Krishna introduces this guru to the disciple and disciple surrenders unto him. And the way he surrenders is like what you see here Uddhava is saying, Nirvinnadi ahamuham prajina abhidapto narayano narasakho sharanam narasakha sharanam pravadyem. That I surrender unto you, narasakha. Because Uddhava is using that word Narasaha there, that Narayana, who is always with Nara, with the living entity, the super soul, Krishna, he surrenders unto him. So, here, another important thing, that Nirvinnadhi par ahamihap ahamuham prajinabhidapto Narayano Narasaka sharanam pravadyem. That these two things, when it happened, you will see here, the disciple is saying to the spiritual master, I am frightened. Now, this, what the disciple says here, unless this fear has grown inside, you should not go to anyone. You should not go to anyone unless this fear is inside. What is the symptom of that fear? Symptom of that fear is this, that you will find that, why should I be fearful? You may think like that. But this fear is a very healthy fear. This fear is a very healthy thing. This fear is necessary. You will see Prahlada talks about that. What did Prahlada say? Prahlada says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you look into Prahlada's Stuti, Prahlada's glorification of Narasimham. Narasimha was glorified by Prahlada, isn't it? When Prahlada, Narasimha appeared, Prahlada spoke, glorified Narasimha Murti. Narasimha Murti. How did he glorify? He says here, Naham bibhe majidate di bhayanagasya jihvaka netra brigadi rasogradam shtral andrasraja kshadaja kesare shankha karna nirhnada bheeda digiva aribhinnakha graal. This was Prahlada's one verse in the, there's about 50 verses, Prahlada glorifying Narasimha. In that, this one particular verse is important because Naham bibhem ajidate di bhayanagasya. Prahlada is saying to Narasimham, Narasimha Murte, I am not frightened of this form. I am not frightened of this form. Why? Although the form is like this, jihu arka netra bhrugudi rasabhogradam shtral. The tongue of Narasimham, the half man, half lion form, very frightening form of Krishna, that half the lion has put its tongue outside, ready to bite. The tongue was outside. Jihva arka netram, and the eyes were like two suns with reddish color with anger, copper-like color, full of anger, and they were ready to bite anyone and kill him immediately. The hands and the arms that is killed, Narasimha Hiranyakashipu, was ready to kill anyone at that time. Krishna's anger was manifesting in that way. Jihvarka netra brigudi rasabhogradam shtral. And also, the other, the powerful nails from the hands and the teeth of the lion, damshra, as it is called, they were all ready to eat anyone, whoever has comes closer to him. After he has just finished the meal with Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu has been eaten by, he has put his hands and stripped them, broke open chest, and from inside he has taken out the intestines and holding it in his hand. You can see that photograph of Narasimha Murti. And full of anger inside. And Prahlada's father is this, Hiranyakashipu. And Prahlada is saying to Narasimha Murti, I am not frightened of this form. Only minutes before that, Lord Brahma came, got frightened and ran away from there. Didn't want to stay anywhere nearby. Because all this problem he has created. Brahma has created, isn't it? As you know, Brahma created all the problem by offering all these benedictions to Hiranyakashipu. So Brahma thought that if I stand here, maybe after Hiranyakashipu it could be me. So he ran away from there. On the other hand, then came Mahalakshmi. Mahalakshmi came. Mahalakshmi was thinking, oh, my husband never, even if he gets angry, as soon as he sees me, he will come down peaceful. He will become peaceful. Because that was Mahalakshmi's mood. But when Mahalakshmi came here and saw this mood, they say that Mahalakshmi ran away from there, that she thought, this form I have never seen before. That was Mahalakshmi's mood. Jihvarka netra brugudi rasabhogradam shtal andra sraja kshataja kesara shankakarnam hradabida digiba naribil nakagral. That if you take that verse in the Bhagavatam, in the canto 7, Saptamaskandam, Prahlada prayers, there you can read that verse, the form of Narasimham, what Sri Sudeva Goswami has, Sri Narada Maharshi has depicted there, you can see the fearful nature, frightening nature, what Narasimha Murti was exhibiting at that time. When you see that, you will realize it, how frightening it was. And our Prahlada, 5-year-old boy, is saying to Narasimha Murti, I am not frightened of this form. He says, I am not frightened of this form. Why? He says here that Naham Vibhem Ajidadedi Bhayanagasya. I have no bhayam, no fear from this. Jihvarka Vetra Bhagudi Rasabhogradam Shtal. Andra Sraja Kshadaya Kesara Shankakarna. Nirhrada Bheeda Digibhadhari Vinnakagral. That Andra Sraja, the intestines are in the hands of his father's intestines. I mean, Hiranyakashipu's intestines are in the hands of, in one hand, of the many hands of Narasimhamurti, is holding the intestines. And blood is coming out from the stomach where it was ripped off by the powerful nails of Narasimhamurti. That Bhagavadam, that part of Shival Bhagavadam is very frightening, the way Narasimhamurti killed Hiranyakashipu, isn't it? So when all these things happen, Prahlada is saying to Narasimhamurti, I am not frightened. Well, how did Prahlada say that? Why did he say that? There is a reason behind it. When great souls, when they say something to Krishna, it's not spoken in a very casual way. It is spoken with a lot of importance given to that verse. Because if you look in the next verse, what did Prahlada say in the next verse? In the next verse, he says here, that I am not frightened of this. Why? Because Trashtosmeham Kripanaval Saladusahogram Samsara Chakragadal Grasadam Pranidaha Bedha Sodharmabi Ushatama Dengrimulam Pridoba Varga Sharanam Khayase Kodanum. This was Prahlada's answer to that. Prahlada says, Trashtosmeham Kripanaval Sala Dusahogra Samsara Chakragadal Grasadam Pranidaha. Prahlada says to Narasimhamurti, I am not frightened of this form, but I am actually frightened about this material world. Just see what Prahlada was saying. Prahlada is saying, I am frightened of this material world, not about this form. From this you have to understand that a disciple also, or a person who has come to this realization, that he should not be frightened of all the other things in this world, rather, he should be frightened of this material existence of this world. Material existence, itself is frightening. Only a person who has thoughtful and who has thought about these things will realize these things. Otherwise, he won't. Otherwise, he will say think in a different. Most of the people do not take these things very seriously. But spiritual life, when one wants to enter into spiritual life, Krishna appreciates that. A disciple understands these things like Prahlada did. Trashtosmeham Kripanavalsala Dusahogra Samsara Chakram. That Samsara Chakram, that this cycle of birth and death, this is what was frightening Prahlada. Prahlada was saying that the very thought of accepting surviving in this world, that birth, death, old age and disease, the four things, isn't it? And how miserable they, how much misery they create. And even after death, there is another body we have to accept. And at that time, if we have to go through another womb of another mother, and go through that, stay in the womb of another mother, and then many years of childhood, and then after that, the youthful problems of the youth, and then the old age, and then disease, various diseases, and death again. So those personalities who had no doubts about these things, they can recognize the miseries of material life. Otherwise, it is not possible. That's why it says here, Trashtosmiham Kripanavalsaladu Sahogra Samsara Chakrakadanal Grasadam Pranidaha. That I am caught up in this samsara chakram. Samsara chakram. Most of us, we do not think there is a samsara chakram existing, isn't it? Because so therefore we don't have concern about it. Only if you know there is a problem, you have to worry about the problem. But because we are not willing to even accept that there is a life after death, because scientists have told us there is no such thing, and we are satisfied with the body, what temporarily we are in, and we are trying to find some little happiness in this body, other issues are not of great concerns to us. So again, this brings the problem that is why we are not finding any taste in spiritual life. Because all these realizations, which should be there prior to coming to spiritual life, has not happened to us. What should have happened? Like Prahlada is mentioning here, that Trashtosmiham Kripanavalsala Dusahogra Samsara Chakra Kadanal Grasadam Pranidaha Badha Aso Karmabhi. He is frightened about karmam also, because by executing karmam, he is saying that I am getting more entangled in this world in different ways. Ushattama Vengri Moolam Prido Bavarga Sharanam Hayase Kwayase Kwadanum. That I am attached to all the material happiness in this world. This is what is frightening me. In other words, Prahlada was more frightened of his own vasanas inside, he is saying, rather than the world outside. Secondly, he says, this vasanas inside will take me through many, many lifetimes. He says to Narasimha Murthy, many, many lifetimes, I was born in a demoniac family. Prahlada recognizes this. Openly he says this to Narasimha Murthy. The fact that I got this birth in a demoniac family indicates to me that my vasanas are not very good. That's why I have come here and to take this birth. And because I have got this birth like this, how many more lifetimes I have to go on like this, one after the other? This was Prahlada's question. So, you can see that in order to develop this understanding, One should read Srimad Bhagavatam. Otherwise, if we simply think that, well, I know everything, I don't need to be told all these kind of things. If there is so many lifetimes, what does it matter? I'm going to chant 16 rounds and I'll be out from this life. I don't have to know about this. That's not the proper way to think. Because it says here in the Bhagavatam, particularly Prahlada's consciousness is spoken very seriously. Because it's Prahlada who says there that... that I have suffered already, Prahlada says, I have suffered already. Right in front of his eyes, his own father was murdered, father was killed by Narasimha Murthy. No matter whoever it is, at the end of the day, a son will feel if his father is killed, isn't it? Yasma priya priya viyoga sayoga janma shogagnina sagalayo nishudahyamana. Prahlada says like this. Yasmal priya priya viyoga sa yoga janmaha. What it means? He says that priyam and apriyam. That means something which is dear to us, something which is not very dear to us, unpleasant, in other words. And this is happening all the time. And this is always happening in life. Sometimes it is something very, some pleasant thing happens in life. Sometimes very unpleasant thing happens in life. On a daily basis it's happening. Then what an yoga janma, viyoga sayoga janma, viyogam and sayogam. That means sometimes people come and join you in this life, in this world. Sometimes they leave you and go away. Isn't it? Sometimes they come and join you in the name of husband or wife or children or mother or father, uncle, aunt, relatives, this, that and the other. They come and join you. You are on your own. But they all come and join you. Due to some previous karma, it all happens. Once that happens, when they leave, you feel misery. You feel distressed over it. When they come, you feel happiness also. So, and when they are here also, mixture of both happiness and distress. All this is a part of this material existence, isn't it? This is called samsaram. So, yasmat priya priya viyoga sayoga janma. And what's happening? Shokagnina sakalayo nishudhyamana. That this distress that is coming from all these kind of things, what I am experiencing in this world, there is a fire that is a material existence. Fire of material existence. Shokagnina sakalayo nishu dehyamana. In all the yonis, in all the womb, all the species, I am burned by this. Look at Prahlada's realization. Prahlada's realization is like that. Dukkhaushadam tadabhi dukkham adhadhyaham bhuman brahmami vadame tavadasya yogam. He says to Narasimha Murti, because I have realized the distress in this world. Remember how much Prahlada was tortured by Hiranyakashipu, isn't it? You know, in Bhagavatam, if you read 7th canto, you will see what Hiranyakashipu tried to do to his own son. To his own son, Prahlada. It's also trying to say to us that based on the relationships on this world, if we develop the thing called attachment, attachment is the basis behind it. Once again, get attached to, like say, father to the son or son to the father, at some point in time, that attachment is going to bring distress. That attachment is going to bring distress. And Hiranyakashipu was only happy so long as Prahlada was able to gratify his senses. Even though it was his son, even though Prahlada was his son, so long as he was an object of sense gratification, Prahlada was accepted as his son. The moment Prahlada has not helpful for Hiranyakashipu's sense gratification, he does not want to know anything about him. In other words, what it shows is this, that the so-called love for family members, so-called love for the society, is all because of one's own selfish interest. That is the summum principle behind it. Because it is satisfying his material desire, vanity or whatever it is called, like Hiranyakashipu was offering Prahlada so many facilities, so much wealth, so much position. All he wanted was, don't do anything to please Krishna. That's all he wanted. And the moment Prahlada went against that, Hiranyakashipu doesn't want to know anything about him. And it is true with Hiranyakashipu, it's true with all of us. There is no doubt about that. We may say so many things, oh, I love my children so much, they love me so much. This is all up to a point. This is all up to a point. The moment, as long as your own vanity or your own pride or whatever, that is, the moment the father finds the son is a headache, please tell the son, please don't come in front of me again. I don't want to know anything about you. You carry on, please don't disturb me. Hare Krishna. That's the word. This is going to happen in this life. There is no doubt about that. Simply don't be fooled by this thought that, oh, me and my family, we are all together happily living forever. And they will all be together like this forever. That's not going to happen. It will not happen.
But surely Krishna has given us this family for a reason.
Well, we'll come to that later. Let me come with Prahlada's story now. So, yasmal priya priya viyoga sa yoga janma shogagmina sagara yonishu dahyamana dukha ushadam darabhi dukha maradhyaham bhuman brahmami vadame tavadasya yogam. So, Prahlada was saying there, that unless this understanding of serving Krishna has taken the priority, and in that process, if the other family members are helpful, and if they are willing to go along with you, it is helpful. But if they turn against you, and if they do not want to engage in Krishna consciousness, then what use of that family? This is what Prahlada is saying. The Prahlada's point is this, that the goal is realizing the Self. Serving Krishna is the goal, nothing else. And in order to do that, a happy situation is also necessary. Prahlada experienced so much distress from Hiranyakashipu, and Hiranyakashipu was willing to abandon him at that time. He did not want to know anything more about him. And this is true with all in this world. This is always bound to happen in this world. Therefore, vivekam is necessary. That's where discrimination comes. To draw the line to what attachment should be. As long as it is done on the platform of a duty, it is fine. But the moment it develops into blind attachment, then it develops into problems. And that is true with Hiranyakashipu, that is true with all of us also. That's why here, coming back to this position of a spiritual personality, inquiring after the truth, he has to have this vivekam or discrimination always ready by his side to act in the right direction. So, having said that, Krishna says here that when in the Bhagavadam, Uddhava's position is like this now. Uddhava has gone through all in life. Uddhava has gone through everything in life. That's why he says here, Nirvinnadi ahamukha vrajinabhitaptoham. That vrajinabhitaptam, I am already experienced all this distress in this world. Uddhava is saying this to Krishna. Nirvinnadi, my intelligence is telling me now to be completely disconnected everything from this world. Completely disconnected from this world. Nirvinnadi ahamuham vrajinabhidatto narayanam narasakam sharanam pradadye. That Uddhava surrender to Krishna is in such a way now that the complete perfection of vairagyam is there in him. And Krishna is seeing this, recognizing this. So therefore, Narayanam Narasakham Sharanam Prabhadye. Narayana or Krishna is willing to instruct Uddhava at this point. Up to that point, Krishna is not willing to instruct Uddhava. Krishna is willing to instruct Uddhava only because at this point in time, Nirvinnati, completely Vairagyam has come to him. Ihamaha Vrajinabhi Tapto. That distress of material life, Uddhava is seeing in front of him, and he is mentioning that to Krishna, that I have also come to terms with that, that this is what material life has got to offer to us. So Uddhava's realizations are showing to us that a disciple also, when he approaches a spiritual master, this consciousness is essential in him. That kind of renunciation in his heart and the kind of vision of the material world is necessary for him to make the next step. That's where we were discussing in the last Sunday. So, having said that, Uddhava surrenders, isn't it? Sharanagati. That is when Uddhava surrenders to Krishna. At that point. And as I mentioned before, Sharanagati or surrender is essential in order to experience the truth. The truth won't experience unless one surrenders. So surrender is essential. Why Sharanagati is stressed? In bhakti process particularly, Sharanagati is the key word. You will see, Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote so many songs regarding Sharanagati. They keep on stressing on Sharanagati all the time. And Sharanagati is the factor which makes a person to experience all these realizations, what's been spoken by Krishna. So therefore, here, Uddhava also surrenders to Krishna. Now, Krishna becomes the spiritual master. Uddhava becomes the disciple. Up to this time, Vrishninam Pravaro Mandri Krishnasya Daida Sakha. Krishna is my friend. Uddhava is the best friend. Shishyo Brihaspade. Brihaspade's disciple he is. Uddhava Buddhisattamaha. Very intelligent person, Uddhava. Why is Uddhava so intelligent? Because he is able to discriminate things like this and therefore become qualified to receive Krishna's mercy in that way. So, then, Uddhava surrenders to him, you will see there that the Uddhava surrender is such that the same incident happens prior in the sixth canto or fifth canto, you can read also. In the fourth canto, when you talk about Prajina Brahi's story, Puranjana Ubhakhyanam, Puranjana's story, if you read in the Bhagavatam, you will see Avijnada Sakhav. He is called Avijnada Sakhav. Avijnada Sakhav is like Krishna. Why is he called Sakhav there? Avijnada Sakhav. Just like here, he is called Narasakha, isn't it? So this Avijnada Sakhava also does exactly the same thing. He is unknown Sakhava. We don't know him. You don't know him at this time, but he is inside there as your constant companion, going with you everywhere. When Prajina Varghese was ready, after hearing from Narada Maharshi, Krishna sent Narada Maharshi to Prajina Varghese to speak to him, isn't it? And at that time only this story came of Puranjana's story. Puram Janedi Idi Puranjana. In other words, Puranjana's story is nothing but, it was spoken as an allegorical story in the Bhagavadam, but it is a story of all of us. If you remember the fifth canto, or fourth canto, you will remember this story. That Puranjana is the story of a person who accepts a human body in the Bhardavarsham, and how he keeps on changing his bodies all the way through. He gets one body, he builds one house, that's how he puts it there, builds one house, then he finds that this house is not good to occupy, it's not good enough for him, smashes the whole thing down, builds another house, gets in, lives for some time, then finds this is also no good, keep on building new houses all the time, breaking the old ones. Virtually it is referring to this changing the bodies in the after coming to human body and changing different forms. There, he is referred to as Avijnada Sakhav. Avijnada means unknown Sakhav who is inside. Ultimately, when he realized that who this Avijnada Sakhav is, at the end of the Puranjana Upakhyanam story, you will see there, that the Vasuas is realized, Prajina Varghese also, the Puranjana story, the king realizes, and eventually two Hamsas, they fly off to the Manasa Saras. That is how the story ends there. That you have to read the fourth canto. You will see there in detail, five or six chapters. Sukadeva Goswami talks about that. But there anyway, the important thing is to remember is that Avijnada Sakhav is there, and here Narasakha it is mentioned. Though Sakhav is the word used there, that friend who is accompanying you all the time, all the time. Particularly, when you come to spiritual life, this Sakhav has an important role to play. He is guiding you through all the time in spiritual life as well. Spiritual life particularly. Material life, we act according to our vasanas. In spiritual life, we are guided by Krishna himself from inside. So, when Uddhava surrendered, you can see, in the Lalita Sahasranamam, in the one of the famous Sahasranamams, there is a reference to Krishna as Panchakritya Parayana. Five duties Krishna performs. What are the three activities? Srishti, Sthiti, Samharam. That means creation, maintenance, destruction. All these Krishna has to execute. Then at the time of devastation, Tirodhanam, disappearance from there. And the fifth one, which is much more important, is he helps the living entity to come out of material life in the form of Guru. He guides the conditioned soul to come out from here, from the material world. So, these five existences, Panchakritya Parayana, these five activities are attributed to the Supreme Lord. He has to do this, that is his role in this world. He executes this creation, maintenance, destruction. At the end, he disappears from here. Goes back to himself, and at the same while being here, when we are all here in this world, he also has this responsibility to help the living entity to come out of material life, material existence. Those who are seeking for freedom from material existence, that is also Krishna's duty. It is Krishna's duty, that is. Krishna executes that all the time. Why it's not happening? Because we are not ready. That's why it's not happening. Krishna is always ready. Bhagavatam is telling us all the time, all those great devotees who have realized Krishna, is telling us that they, when they got ready, Krishna was there to help them to get out of material life. So similarly, Panchakritya Parayana, out of the five things, this position of a guru is like that. Spiritual master, his role is Krishna comes in that position to help the conditioned soul to free himself when he is ready to free himself from the material world. So, when Uddhava has spoken all these things to Krishna, Uddhava has presented himself. You remember what Krishna has spoken previously, 6 or 7 verses, isn't it? Tumtu sarvam parityajya onwards. In reply to that, now Uddhava has spoken yogesha yoga vinyasa yogatma yoga sambhava. We have spoken all that verses. And now Uddhava concluded his answer to Krishna. It is at this point now Krishna understood that Uddhava is ready to receive the instruction. But the way in which Krishna has instructed Uddhava is a very interesting way. Krishna instructs Uddhava. Unlike in Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna instructed Arjuna because of the special situation which Arjuna was in, here Krishna has taken several examples from this world. He did not bring any examples from another world or another planet or incidents such as happened somewhere else. Everything what Krishna has spoken in the Ekadasha Skandam to Uddhava is things, incidents what has happened in this world and referring to those personalities who were known to Uddhava in some way or the other from the history. This is why. Why? Krishna realized that it makes a lot easier when one is spoken about things in the from the contemporary world or from incidents what has happened in the family or in the traditional traditions of the different kingdoms or the different royal families. So here Krishna says, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Krishna says to Uddhava, Prayena Manija Loka Loka Tattu Vijakshanaha. That is how Krishna begins the instructions. Prayena Manija Loka Uddhava. First thing what you have to understand is this, he says, that from time immemorial in this world, people who are very thoughtful, they were very capable of analyzing this world. What is that? Prayena Manija Loka Loka Tattva Vijakshana. Loka Tattva Vijakshana. That is their qualification. Loka Tattva Vijakshana. Logarattva Vijakshana means those who have got the ability to analyze things properly. Then, why did Krishna say like that? Because ordinary people in this world, ordinary people, they are not Logarattva Vijakshana. Isn't it? Logarattva Vijakshana. Because they have not thought about this world at all. How many of us have really thought about this world? We never had time to think about the world. We had only time to think about ourselves, isn't it? So, what Krishna is saying here is that generally the human nature is like this, that we will do what is good for us, isn't it? That every one of us will do that. There is no doubt about that. We all first will take into consideration what is good for me. I'll do that first. Only problem here is this, that we do not know what is good for us. That is where the problem is. What we have understood that it is good for us, this will come in spiritual life also. This is a test for everybody. This is a test for everyone. We are used to somebody telling us, do this and it is good for you. We take it from the face value and follows it. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work. If it didn't work, we blame the person who has told us to do it. If it worked, we say it's our good intelligence that it has worked. So this is how we handle situations. But Krishna is saying here, brings a personality who is not like this, who is not in this category. He says here that ordinary people, they look into their life and see what's beneficial for them and they do that in this world, isn't it? Everybody, nobody is an exception to that. And that's why we will see there that we do such things in this world, keeping always in focus of our interest, our personal interest. Because somewhere inside ourselves, we have come to a firm conclusion that this is beneficial for me. This is good for me, so I should do that. I should do that. And even in spite of the fact that you have read Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and all that, and even you have got initiated, even then, and even if you have carried on doing, practicing spiritual life for many years, one day, suddenly, you can leave the whole thing with a lot of money and go away and live your own life. This has happened also. Why did that happen? Why did does that happen to a person? So many years, he has followed the instructions of the spiritual master. Spiritual master instructed him, and he being, the person being very enthusiastic to do things and had some capacity to control others and manage things, he developed some progression in the organization, in the movement or organization, did a lot of things in the movement for many years, but suddenly one morning, some intuition from inside is telling him, this is not what I want. In other words, that person in his own very much inside has already made a decision what is good for him. And he is, based on that, he is working in this world. He's working in this world. That is the reason why we say that so many years after practicing spiritual life also, he still has not understood what is the thing he is looking for. Externally, he may be doing everything. Everything he'll be doing externally. He'll be performing all the... He'll be following the regulatory principles. He'll be performing the sadhana, minimum required sadhana, what has been told. He will be doing service or whatever has been is expected of him to do. And he could be even leading others in spiritual path. He could be even leading others in the spiritual path. A lot of people will be looking up to him for spiritual guidance. And that person, one day, suddenly decides, this is not what I want something else. Why? This is the reason behind it. That, inside, in his unconscious mind somewhere, he is not sure what he wants in life still. He is not convinced about it, that this is what he wants. He is still thinking that money will make me happy. Money will make me happy. And so when all the time in his management or in his duties or spiritual life, he has not forgotten that what is actually keeping him going. It is that thing he still has a lot more faith in that rather in Bhagavad Gita or in Krishna's words or in Srimad Bhagavatam. His faith is all in the money, not in any of the other things. That is why we see time and again this happening, time and again happening, that Krishna is saying here that when that thing is happening, you can see he knows his interest is there. Just like I was saying, somebody, he says that he has is willing to work very hard. They are going to go to America to make money or go to Gulf to make money. And when they go there, they are willing to work from morning 7 o'clock to midnight, 15, 16 hours every day throughout the week. And feel, because inside there is a conviction inside that money is going to solve all his problems. That's why he's able to work like that. He's able to work like that. And the same person, when he comes back and you ask him to chant the holy name or to take to read Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, hardly 5 or 10 minutes he can read, he falls asleep. Why does that happen? Why does that happen? Because in his own mind, when he was working 12, 15 hours a day, he was able to focus completely on the work what he was doing. And he was feeling satisfaction from that, and he was come home and slept. Even while sleeping, he was dreaming about the work. Probably he was dreaming about the work. And the very person, when he comes to spiritual life, and you request him to take to Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita and try to understand, he finds hardly 5 or 10 minutes he can read, and trying to think about it, he falls asleep. He says to you, I can't read Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam because I am feeling sleepy. I am feeling sleepy. He feels tired. Why? So, here, important things to remember. So long as we have something else, a major decision inside, which is different than Krishna's decision, Krishna's words in the Bhagavadam, we will continue to experience these situations. We may say that, oh, I have to do that to fill my belly. How will I live otherwise? How will I live otherwise? He will give you all kinds of excuses based on that to justify his position. He will justify that. But what he does not know that the the moment he and identify that the ignorance that has gone inside, that not able to discriminate things and able to draw the line where it is required, he has absorbed himself in the material life and material body to that degree that he finds it difficult to understand the words what Krishna has spoken here. The same person, he sits in front of a television, he does not fall sleepy. The moment he comes and sits in the Bhagavatam class, he nods straight away. Why? Why? This is the only question to ask. Why does that happen? It's only because Krishna has given a beautiful name for this. If you take the Bhagavad Gita, you will see there, Krishna says, Vaivasaya Almiga Buddhi. That is the Buddhi, Krishna says. Vaivasaya Almiga Buddhi. Krishna calls it by that name. Why is it called Vaivasaya Almiga Buddhi? Krishna says, if that Buddhi, when it comes to the spiritual side of life, into the spirituality, the same Buddhi, what is fixing you in material life, a happy material way of life, and finding happiness there, if that intelligence transfers us into the spiritual field, into the spiritual world, Adhyalpa Mandalam, then all these things will happen to us. What is spoken in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam will be clear to us. Otherwise, it will not happen. This is why, time and time again, we have to ask this question, that is this what we are doing? Is this what is helping me in my spiritual life? Or otherwise, we should not ask any question, continue with the material life as we are, and don't bother and be satisfied with whatever comes from that, from our spiritual activities. Krishna is saying here, Loka Tattva Vijakshanaha. Though this is where Loka Tattva Vijakshanam comes. Loka Tattva Vijakshanam means that he is able to withdraw from the material life to that degree what is necessary, so that because he has got that independent way of thinking, he is able to think independently. You will see, when you bring people to spiritual life without proper background behind it, proper understanding of that, they will have always problems in spiritual life. Once they come to spiritual life, even there the mind will turn into making money. It will turn into making money. And that is why the satisfaction is not there. He has not understood the real value of money, what it is. On the other hand, still he is feeling security in the wealth, in the money. Therefore, even after coming to spiritual life, he needs to make money. Otherwise, it will not be possible for him to execute spiritual life. And then we have to say that Krishna needs the money. So I have to make more money to make for Krishna. We will find all excuses at that time. On the other hand, Nirindhana Ivanalam, that vasanas have not gone from inside. They are following him continuously. And although the dress has changed, the inside has not changed. And you can see this happening even sometimes in sannyas ashram. This will not go. This will follow him. And that is why it is said here that when one takes into that, even to that ashram, if such vasanas are following him, it will be very difficult for him to engage in spiritual life and to be steady. One day it will fall. One day it will drop. So therefore, Krishna has put all these strong restrictions on a person who enters into sannyasa ashram, and also on the role of the spiritual master. So, here, prayena manija loka lokatattva vichakshanaham samudharandi atmanam atmaneiva shubhashayad. Important verse. Krishna begins his instructions with these words. Prayena manija loka lokatattva vichakshanaham. Before going to spiritual master and all that, Krishna is talking about something different now. What is he saying? Lokatattva Vichakshana. Learn from this world something first. Krishna says to Dhruva. What is there to be learned from this world? Generally, there are four ways of acquiring things, acquiring knowledge in this world. Isn't it? Four ways they are spoken. When we say knowledge, it is not collecting information. Please don't misunderstand that. This collecting information is a very wrong thing. It doesn't help very much in spiritual life. Because it will simply become an information center then. It will become an information center. That's not what Krishna is talking about. Most of us have got this weakness in us that we just want to get information from different places. And we think that we are making spiritual advancement. Collecting information doesn't make anyone spiritually advanced because it says Shabdajalam Maharanyam. This information world is a big world. Any amount of information you collect, it won't help. It won't help. What actually will help is little information that has gone in, has it gone into realization, into anubhuti. So, anubhavam or experience in that way. Therefore, normally it comes to us from four different sources. What are they? One it is called pratyaksham. Pratyaksham means direct perception. Direct perception. Anumanam. Anumanam means by deduction. How you, by deductive process, how you come to certain conclusions. Then, by agamam. From the shastram, you get the instructions. And then the last one, aptokti. Aptokti means instructions from the great souls. Their instructions, what they have realized. These are the four ways in which one can acquire spiritual understanding in this world. All these four are important. All these four are important. But here you will see Krishna starts with pratyaksham and anumanam. He leaves aptokti and agamam for the moment. He is not touching even agamam. Shastra is not even touching. Why? Because he wants us to also understand that if you develop a mind like the personalities whom he is going to bring forth, if you develop a nature like that, it is possible to understand, develop many realizations from this very world what we are living in. What we are living in. That's why he used that word Lokatattva Vichakshana, who are experts in analyzing this world. Who are experts in analyzing this world. So that expertise is what Krishna is looking for in Uddhava. And Krishna says to Uddhava that the question you have raised to me, that you are feeling separation from me and you are feeling affected by that, shows that you have not done this properly. Krishna finds the fault with Uddhava. In the instructions itself, Krishna finds that fault with Uddhava, that prayanam anujayaloka lokatattva vichakshana. That lokatattvam vichakshana, you have not developed that expertise how to learn things from this world. For a person who wants to advance spiritually, this world itself is a school. The world itself is a school from where one can learn. But unfortunately, we don't have that nature in us of learning things from here. Here, what do we say? We come to this world to lord it over the material nature and to satisfy our senses. And if something happens in between, through spiritually, that's fine. And then we want mercy from somebody, isn't it? We are looking for some pure devotee somewhere. If a pure devotee exists somewhere, we find out, we'll go to him and tell him, bless me, he'll say to him. Give me some your blessing so that I can realize the truth. He can't help you. Nobody can help you. Unless Krishna is saying here, in this particular Ekadasha Skandam particularly, Krishna is saying here, develop this understanding of life. Like he says to Uddhava, that direct perception is very clear, isn't it? It's not very difficult to understand. That, how do we understand from direct perception? Direct perception is like this, that whatever we are experiencing through our senses, mind, intelligence, all these things, this is directly perceived. By using the intelligence, mind and the senses, if one is able to understand the spark behind it, that is direct perception. For example, when we experience sense gratification, sense enjoyment, If you understand that Krishna is providing that to us, that sense enjoyment, then you are, that is direct perception. When it is not only, it's not only simply consciousness. Consciousness means the knowledge that you are experiencing something, isn't it? The very experience of all the senses, different taste, the five senses of knowledge, eyes, ears, nose, touch, taste, all of them, when you experience that, who is behind it? That is Krishna. Who is behind that? That's Krishna. Because presence of the soul within, part and parcel of Krishna, is the engine behind it. That is allowing all the senses to function, mind to function, intelligence to function. They are all functioning because of the soul inside. That is direct perception. Isn't it? Directly you are perceiving things in this world. As soon as you taste some nice prasadam, you should see Krishna in there. Like Bhagavad Gita says, Rasoham apsu kaundeya. Arjuna, that taste of water is me. In up the Rasoham, the taste of water is me, Krishna says. So that is direct perception. For those who have no other ways of knowing Krishna, Krishna is saying, Rasoham apsu kaundeya. Prabhasmi shashi suryayoho. That the sun and the moon, when they are illuminating this world, that's me. Pranava sarvavedeshu shabdhage paurusham narshu. So Krishna has given a number of things there, how to perceive Krishna in this world directly through the senses and the mind and intelligence. Isn't it? So that is the first thing, through direct perception. Through direct perception. That is the first thing. So pratyaksham or direct perception is an important thing for those who are looking for the truth. Or looking for the truth. This is what Krishna is talking about. How to learn from this very world where we are living, presence of Krishna here, in this world. Most of us do not have that inclination or do not have the mind to analyze it that way. That's where Srimad Bhagavatam is coming to our help, to do that. Through the next few episodes, Krishna will teach Uddhava how to develop this way of looking at things. How to develop this way of looking at things. Again you will see, the very next thing is called Anumanam. Anumanam means deduction process. How do you Anumanam? Anumanam is like this. That, say I'm seeing something with my eye. I'm seeing something with my eye. Can I see the object with my eye alone? No, I can't see any object with my eye alone. Suppose this whole thing is dark. I can't see any object with the eye, isn't it? So at that time we say that the sunlight or the electric light, whatever, light is essential for us to see the object. For us to see the object. So the eyes are necessary and the light is necessary. Can I see if I have only these two things? Can I see that the object with these two things? Absolutely not. You can only see the things when behind the eyes, the thing called mind is helping the eyes to perceive that. My eyes on its own has no power. The senses on its own has no ability to function. The senses function because of the mind behind it. Isn't it? And the mind is functioning because intelligence is behind it. Behind it. And all of these are functioning and I am able to see the object only because right behind that the soul is there. The soul, through the different mediums of mind, intelligence, senses and the light, when all the other objects are present there, if the soul is not present there, he cannot experience the presence of any of these objects. In other words, the seeing, the person seeing, has to be there to experience everything what he is seeing. Everything what he is seeing. So, the important point is that from deduction, from Anumanam, you can see presence of Krishna in there. Presence of Krishna in there. It is only because of Krishna's part, the soul is present within the body, that all these objects are existing. You are able to experience this world. You are able to interact with each other. You are able to do some wonderful things in this world, but we always forget that element, Krishna, behind it. We always forget that element, Krishna, behind it. But Bhagavatam is, Krishna is saying here that one who is intelligent, he can see these things. Prayana manujaya loka, loka tattva vichakshana. He can see through his own consciousness. He will analyze things in the right way and he will come to this conclusion through direct perception and through deduction. He will know these things. You don't have to study any shastram for this, Krishna is saying here. Even you have not done that, Uddhava, Krishna says to Uddhava. Because Uddhava made this statement to Krishna. What did he say? What did he say? Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava says to Krishna, that Naham Tavangri Kamalam Shanardham Abhi Keshava Tektum Samulsahe Nada Sudhama Nayamam Abhi. That is how the discussion started, isn't it? Uddhava says to Krishna, I have been with you so many years, but now I am finding difficult to separate from you. Isn't it? Difficult to separate from you. You are leaving me. Kshanardham. For a devotee, it is the most difficult thing to leave Krishna. Isn't it? Kshanardham avikeshava. Tetumsam ulsahe natha sodhama naimamabhi. Please take me also with you, back to you, wherever you are going. It doesn't matter where you are going. Let me be with you. So at this point, Krishna understood that Uddhava's style of realization is not good enough for Krishna. Krishna didn't want Uddhava to say these words to him. So therefore, Krishna says to Uddhava, it looks to me that you have not understood this world or analyzed this world properly. Analyze this world properly. Because you can see now, prayena manija loga loka tattva vichakshanaha, that people who are experts in analyzing this world, they would not say these things, what you have mentioned. What you have mentioned, because those who are seeing Krishna in this way, in this world, for them there is no separation from Krishna. There is no separation from Krishna. Uddhava should have known very well that Krishna is still present here. And relating, connecting with Krishna is still possible here. Even though physically he was present with him, has departed from this world. Krishna has not left this world. Krishna has not left this world. In fact, it is through Uddhava that Krishna is telling us that if you are looking for me, you will find me in Srimad Bhagavatam. You will find me in Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam and me are non-different. Krishna says there. Bhagavatam and me are non-different. So searching for Krishna means searching in this way, through Krishna's instructions. Krishna says to Uddhava that, Uddhava, you have not understood. So let me start from the beginning. So although on the bhakti level, Uddhava was a great soul. He had the great opportunity to meet the devotees, great devotees of Krishna, gopis. Took message from Krishna to the gopis. And even consoled gopis from their separation from Krishna. Uddhava was sent to console the gopis to being separated from Krishna. Isn't it? If you remember in the 10th canto, why Uddhava was sent there? Uddhava was sent there to console gopis because they were feeling separation from Krishna. So the person who has gone to console gopis who are feeling separation from Krishna is now feeling himself the separation. Just see the situation. So you may ask this question at that time, that so what was Uddhava's role there then? Uddhava gone and done the right thing, because ultimately, although Uddhava was sent there, behind the scene Krishna is controlling things. Staying in Mathura, who knew the heart of the gopis better than Uddhava? While Uddhava was sent there, it was not at all sent to console the gopis. This is the conclusion of all the acharyas. Uddhava was not sent to console the gopis. Uddhava was on the other hand sent to learn what is devotion from gopis. Evam bhaktya, because when Uddhava comes back, Krishna asked Uddhava, Uddhava, what did you see? Did you console them? Uddhava's reply was not about consoling. He didn't say one word about it. He says, Evam bhaktya sakala bhuvane nekshidana shrudava. Then what Uddhava was shocked was not about their separation or anything. That bhakti in the gopis. That is what shocked Uddhava. He says, nekshidana shrudava. I have not seen this bhakti anywhere else. I have not heard about it. I have not seen it anywhere. Uddhava says, Nasha kim shastrauge kimiha tapasa gobigabhyo namostu. Uddhava was so moved by Gopi's devotion, seeing Radharani and seeing all the other gopis and their relationship and their attachment to Krishna. Uddhava says to Krishna, this is what I have seen there. Kim shastrauke kimiha tapasa gopigabhyo namostu. These gopis who have not studied any shastram, who have not performed executed any serious penances or austerities, but seeing their attachment to Krishna, Uddhava was completely shocked. And that shock he was saying to Krishna, and all that Krishna wanted from Uddhava was that much. Krishna wanted from Uddhava to understand the level of devotion of the, because while Uddhava left Mathura, Krishna told Uddhava, when you go and see the gopis, don't expect things in an ordinary way. They are a very special type of devotees. Krishna warned this to Uddhava. You will find them completely unusual. They are not like ordinary devotees. Ordinary devotees are different, isn't it? Our gopis situation, Krishna wanted Uddhava to understand that the advancement they have made on the love of Godhead, another attachment for Krishna. They were so advanced, gone so ahead in the bhakti process. Krishna wanted Uddhava to understand that. So he warned Uddhava, don't expect that everything will be very smooth there. And Uddhava was also in shock many times how Radharani spoke about Krishna. Some of the things what Radharani spoke about Krishna, ordinary devotee won't speak like that, would he? What did Radharani say? Radharani says, you never trust these black people, he said to him. That's one thing. So many things Radharani said. So Uddhava, he was gearing up, Uddhava was to understand that Krishna wanted Uddhava to understand that this is a different kind of devotion. It's not an ordinary style of devotion. That Radharani's heart, Radharani's mind was such that only Krishna could understand that. And Krishna wants to understand that sometimes. That was the level of excellence of devotion in Radharani. That in one instance, Radharani says to Uddhava, in Brahmaragidam, if you read in the 10th canto, you will see there, Radharani is saying to that black bee, remember Brahmaram, which came to Radharani, and whatever Radharani wanted to say to Uddhava, instead of saying directly, she was speaking to this bee, And the bee was the color of this black bee. And quoting that, she was saying that you people are not trustworthy. None of you are trustworthy. And secondly, she also said, there's so many things she said at that time, that the very nature of you people are like, your master is pointing at the bee. He's telling, bee had on its horns some kind of reddish powder. And she says to the bee, that this reddish powder, you have got it because you must have gone and sat on the chest of the gopi, on the queens of Mathura, who while being embraced by Krishna, that kungumam, that vermilion powder must have spread on Krishna's chest as well. From there it must have caught on you. Like this, she was constantly criticizing Krishna. And then she says that, I know his history before. Somebody who has surrendered to him, what did he do to him? He completely sent him to the Beli Maharaj. Belimavi Belimatvam. That he, when Mahabali surrendered unto him, he sent him back to the Padala Logam. That's what he has done. One who has surrendered to him. I can't trust such people. This is what Radharani was saying to the bee. So Uddhava was listening to all these things. Normal devotees cannot say like this about Krishna, can they? I can't trust you. Can you say that to Krishna? Yes. So Radharani's level of relationship with Krishna was like that. Krishna wanted Uddhava to understand all these things, therefore Uddhava was sent there. So how to understand in separation from Krishna, that was not understood even at that time, even after going through this. That is why we find here that Krishna had wanted Uddhava to actually understand what is Krishna. Who is Krishna? Up to this time, as his personal friendship and as associate, Uddhava has done a tremendously excellent job till now and served Krishna extraordinarily, 112, 115 years of personal association with Krishna. And in spite of that, Uddhava is feeling separation from Krishna. So you will see here, when the whole instructions finishes to Uddhava, all instructions are over with Uddhava, that Uddhava comes to a point that I have spoken something in the wrong way in the beginning. Uddhava acknowledges that. Misunderstood everything, spoken things in the wrong way. This wrong understanding came to Uddhava because Krishna, by after giving him this realization, tests Uddhava whether he has now understood it or not. The spiritual master should be able to do that with the disciple. And he should be able to know that the disciple has come out of his ignorance or not. Not that whole lifetime ignorance is coming all the time and questions are coming. That is not spiritual life. If the whole life, if the doubts are coming one after the other, that shows that the proper training hasn't happened at the right place, at the right time. That at some stage, all these must settle down. And then the progress has to go on, carry on. There is no questions after that. That is the time when the interaction happens between the spiritual master and the disciple. Just like you will see here, Krishna has spoken to Uddhava for many chapters, 26 chapters in the Bhagavadam. Then Uddhava says at the very end that my doubts are all cleared now. And he is jumping with joy. He is smiling with joy. And at the same time, he is not able to leave Krishna. So look at the devotee's difficulty. Devotee has come to the point of realization, self-realization. He has realized now what is Krishna. And still he has a difficulty in leaving Krishna. This is Uddhava's predicament at the very end. You will see there, at that time, Uddhava says to Krishna like this. Uddhava says to Krishna that that whatever that may happen to me, this attachment I had for your lotus feet, that let that not go away under all circumstances. So devotee's relationship is very special. It is not like a jnani's relationship. Jnani, when he has realized this, he is satisfied. He goes away with that. But a devotee is not satisfied. Devotee wants that Supreme Personality's association. Krishna's association is still, he wants it. In spite of that, he gets all the other realizations as well along with it. Whatever yayadhamam prabhadyande tamstadeva bhajamyaham mama varpanu vartande manushya partha sarvasha. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that whatever a devotee is lacking, Krishna will offer that at the right time when he needs it. When he needs it. But so that does not mean that we shouldn't know these things. Bhagavadam is not asking us to completely close your eyes against all these things. Through Uddhava's, these instructions to Uddhava, what we have to understand is this. Just like Uddhava has developed that devotion to Krishna, when we also are able to develop that bhakti for Krishna, at the right time, that separation from Krishna may become difficult. But at that time, Krishna will personally instruct us in the way it is required for us, so that separation is not felt. That separation is not felt. Ekadasha Skandam begins with those verses which we'll discuss at the time when we get to that. But here, Krishna is bringing Uddhava into that understanding of Krishna consciousness. Prayena manija loka, loka tattva vichakshanaha. Krishna didn't put us here just to go and suffer in this material world. He didn't tell us like that. He has put us and he has given us all the opportunity. Because if you look at the next line, you will see what does Krishna says. Krishna says in the very next line, samudharam vi atmanam atmaneiva ashubhashayan. Krishna likes us all, likes all of us individually developing spiritually. This is what he wants from us. He does not want us to be sitting there crying all the time. Samudharandi Atmanam Atmaneiva Shubhashayad. That is that word. In Bhagavad Gita, exactly the same thing. Uddhared Atmanalpanam Atmanam Avasadayel Atmanyaiva Atmano Bandhu Atmaiva Vira Alpanam. That Krishna's expectation from us is that he has put us in the material world, in this planet, and he has put in certain conditions. But Krishna says, if you are intelligent, in a sense, that if you have the right frame, right approach in life, in this very world itself, Krishna says, you can advance spiritually without even touching Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. Of course, Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam is only to help us, like us, who have not taken, understood these things. But many, many great sages, prior to Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, they have realized the self simply by this process of pratyaksham and anumanam. They were able to realize. But they have that intensity of inquiry. That inquiry is so intense, therefore they could make that progress. Those who are not having that intensity in their inquiry, for them, all this coaching and inquiring and training and help is essential. Or at least someday, this inquiry may come from the heart, from inside. Otherwise, it's not happened. But that is all you can expect from Ekadasha Skandam. By Ekadasha Skandam, you should not think now that I have seen the, or studied all Bhagavatam, now it's not happening to me. If you ask that question, there is no answer to that. The answer to this is like this, that as you see these personalities, Uddhava, and what levels Uddhava is going through, you can also see that it all applies to us as well. We'll discuss next Sunday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Yeah.
Thank you very much for your lecture. I'm amazed at your knowledge. Fantastic. At the beginning, you mentioned about the body and health. I had suffered serious health problems through separation from Krishna. And then when I became closer to Krishna, my health improved. In some traditions in the West, Lord Jesus Christ healed many people. Mm-hmm. Can one also talk about the recovery power of the body with Krishna's help? What can be done? When it's necessary, if the body is to be used for Krishna consciousness, the power, the miraculous power of what can happen through the mind and the soul being utilized with the body for Krishna? From your knowledge,
the important thing here is that we have to always ask this question, why am I suffering? Isn't it? Generally, our approach in life is, as soon as a distress comes to us, we want to deal with it straight away. Rarely that we inquire about the cause of the distress. And Vedic literature is telling us that anyone experiences happiness and distress in this world is coming from the past activities. You see, past activities have a large bearing on our experiences in this world, particularly in relationship with various illnesses and things like that. So, normally a devotee in that situation will accept this as like as his prarabdham, purva karmam, which has come to him in this form, and he will willing to tolerate it rather than counteract it in a large scale. You may say that in order to serve Krishna, I require a healthy body. That's fine. That's a nice understanding. But you also have to know, today I have this good thought in me to serve Krishna. But life, many, many lifetimes before, I never had that thought in my mind. In other words, I have done so many sinful activities in my life for which Krishna is punishing me now with a little bit of punishment. So rather than trying to blame Krishna or rather trying to find a solution from that, from the problem, a devotee to a large degree through his discriminative power, he will accept that as a part of the punishment from Krishna's side. Not from Krishna's side, my own karma is coming back to us in another form. Krishna doesn't interfere in anyone's karma. Karma is our creation. So that karma has to come back to us at some point. That is why if it makes us to think in dealing in the future at least, not to engage in sinful life or not to do such activities which will create further karma, we have learned the best lesson from that. Now, serving Krishna is important, but in circumstances when you could not do it due to physical conditions or the illnesses, whatever it may be, you have to accept it that even service is subject to conditions from Krishna. Only when Krishna wants it, it will happen. Even service to Krishna. Otherwise, Krishna's Maya will keep you in so many other services. And you may be thinking, I am serving Krishna. To serve Krishna, you don't need anything. All you need is a good heart to serve Krishna. So, the more we recognize that, serving Krishna is ahaituki apradihada yena alpa samprasidati. The beginning of Bhagavatam, Vedavyasa Maharshi says, Sudha Goswami says this actually, that to go to Krishna, Shranodamsa Katha Krishna, all that is required is to hear about Krishna. Simply by the process of hearing, one can go back to Krishna. So powerful is the process of hearing. Other things, because we don't want to do it, and we want to do so many other varieties of activities, we have created varieties of services in this world. Prabhupada even used to say, I have created all these million-dollar projects for my big, big men, because they need them. They are not able to sit and chant 16 rounds together. They need big projects, otherwise their mind is not under control. So what can you do? So you have to start big projects for them. Otherwise, this spiritual life, from the Bhagavatam point of view, is not so complex. We make it complex because our mind is not under control. Therefore, different desires builds up and we give a spiritual identification to it. And therefore, we feel that health is causing some restrictions. But if one can come to terms with the disease or distress, and accept that, at least I am burning out that part of my sinful life, what I have done before, and come to terms with it, you have made the spiritual advancement. Actually, this realization is more valuable than your hundreds of years of service to Krishna. To Krishna, yes. Actually, it is better to realize something and change yourself rather than your physical or other service to Krishna. Krishna doesn't need any of our services. He is completely free and completely full in all aspects. Service comes much later. These realizations are the basis on which our service will succeed in spiritual life.
But is it not all connected? And are there examples of miraculous... I have had personal examples that when I come close to Krishna, that my body improves miraculously.
Yeah.
Is it not better that...
It will. Yeah, it has to. Because by Krishna consciousness, the mind is the cause of the body, where the distress is coming from. When the mind comes to peaceful situation in Krishna consciousness, it will have its impact on the body as well. Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.